This story happened long ago in Yerushalayim. It starts in Yerushalayim anyway, but then it moves away from there, as we're going to see. Now listen very carefully. In Yerushalayim, there lived a very poor family. There was a tati and a mommy and six kindalach, and the mommy was expecting the seventh baby. She was expecting number seven. Now, this tati worked very hard trying to get money for his family. What did he do? He was a wood chopper. Every morning he woke up very early, and of course he davened to Hashem, and then he took his axe, the wood thing with the metal on it, and he goes out into the forest and he chops wood a whole day. He ties the wood together, and then he has to carry it on his back or on his shoulders to the town. And he comes into the town and he has to sell it to people who, of course, use the wood to make fires or to build things, whatever people used to use wood for. And with that money, kindalach, he would try to buy the food and the things that his family needed. But after all that work to pay for the family of six children and his wife, it just wasn't enough. And many times they just didn't have enough food or enough things. And kindalach, the tati got sad. And the tati got depressed. And he felt bad and worried that he was not giving enough to his children. Now kindalach, even though we know that we have to trust in Hashem and believe in Hashem and have bitachon that things will get better, sometimes it is very difficult and it's very hard. And this tati kindalach got very depressed in a very not good way. Until, because he kept feeling he was disappointing his wife and children, and he felt bad about himself, and he got in such a not good feeling, he went out in the forest one day. Now this part is so sad. I didn't even want to say in this story. I thought to myself when I'm reading this story, should I really tell the children what this man wanted to do? And then I said, well, maybe I shouldn't say it this way. I should change it. But then I said, no, if I tell a story, I want to be very exact and tell it the way it really is. I don't want to change anything in the story if this is the way the story goes. So I said, I have to tell the story the way it goes, even though it's such a terrible, sad thing that the father wanted to do to himself. Who am I to go and change the story if this is what happened? The tati took the axe that morning and he goes out into the forest and he comes to a tree that he usually lifts up the axe to start hacking the wood from the tree. But instead of lifting the axe over the tree, he lifted it over himself, over his own head. The tati lifted up the axe over his own head, and he was ready, chas v'shalem, to bring down the axe on himself to kill himself. As we know, kindalach, is a person allowed to take their own life? Or is this an aveda? What is this?
Aveda.
This is an aveda. Of course we know that a person is not allowed, as sad or depressed or terrible, as bad as they might feel, they're still not allowed ever to take away their own life. Because who does your life really belong to? And who does your body really belong to? Does it really belong to you? Or maybe it belongs to somebody else?
Hashem.
It belongs to Hashem. It's really Hashem's. It's not yours to take Chas V'Shalom, to do with it whatever you want. So as we know from the Torah, as terrible as things get, a person has to always trust in Hashem, that things can change and things can get better. And even in 1 second, things can change around to be good. But of course, as we said, the father got in a very, very sad feeling way. It's called depression. And he just lost his koyach to be able to do what's right. And he was ready to bring the axe down. All of a sudden, he hears a voice screaming behind him, "Stop! Don't do that!" And somebody was running out of the trees. And it was some old man running very fast. He grabs the axe just as it's coming down. And the axe falls to the ground. And it does not go where the Tati planned for it to go. It just fell on the ground. And there's this old man standing there. And the father says, "I have enough trouble as it is. Now I need trouble from some old man stopping me from what I wanted to do." And the old man says, "Look, I couldn't help but stopping you. I saw what you were trying to do. How can you do that? Don't you have a wife and a family to think about?" And the man starts to cry, "Well, that's what I'm doing it for. I'm letting down my wife and my family. I'm working so hard, and I don't make enough money to take care of them, and I'm so sad." And the old man says, "Don't you know that Hashem is going to help you?" "How can you say Hashem is going to help me? How do you know anyway?" He says, "Look, I don't want to make you feel worse than you are already. Let me give you some good news. I happen to be Eliyahu Hanavi." "What? You? You were really Eliyahu Hanavi?" He says, "Yes. Hashem sees everything. Hashem, of course, knows what's going on with you, and he's not going to let it go forever. And of course it gets difficult, but things go sometimes in a difficult way and then things get better. Hashem has good plans for you. You don't have to give up like that. And Hashem has sent me to tell you that things are going to change." And the man said, "Things are going to change? You mean things will be better for myself and my family and my wife and my kinderlach and the new baby that's on the way?" The old man smiles. He says, "Look, not right away, but in about 2 months, things are going to change. So just hold on. Be strong. Don't give up. You have 2 more months to wait, and things will change for you and your family." And the man, Kinalach, felt better. He calmed down. He went to work that way as usual. And he schlepped the wood and he did his best. And he came home and he told his wife what happened in the forest. I don't know if he told her everything, what he was planning to do with the axe, but he told her that he met an old man who says he's Eliyahu Hanavi. And he says things are going to improve in about 2 months. And of course, his wife was very happy and very hopeful. And each day for 2 months, the man went out, of course not Shabbos. And he worked and he did his best. And the family got by. Until 2 months later, the man knows, hopefully, if this old man was telling the truth, who knows? Maybe it was some old man who was just in the middle of the forest. He doesn't know for sure. But about 2 months later, one day, the man is going out of his house to go to work in the forest. And all of a sudden, the old man walks right up to him. The old man was right there, right in front of his house. And he says, "Hashem has sent me to tell you that now is the time that things are going to change. However, they will not change for you here in Yerushalayim. You and your family must move away and go to a different place. And in the different place, that's where things are going to change. And the old man walked away down the street, and he was just lost in the... And the old man just went away, and the Tati was standing there thinking to himself. He goes back in and he tells his family, "We're moving away from Yerushalayim. We have to move away to a different place." Of course, Kinalach, he told his wife why they have to move away. And even though she was now in her ninth month, what means in her ninth month? How long is the baby inside of the mommy before the baby gets born, usually?
9 months.
Usually 9 months. Except, of course, like Moshe Rabbeinu was born after 7 months. And, in fact, Eliyahu HaNavi, do you know how long he was inside of his mommy before he was born? 12 months. Eliyahu HaNavi himself was born after being 12 months inside of his mommy, which is very unusual. All right. The wood chopper and his family are moving away from Yerushalayim because Eliyahu HaNavi said they have to go to a different place. And in the different place is going to be the bracha, but not in Yerushalayim where they're living before, where the wood chopper goes to the forest and chops the wood. And so, Kinalach, the family packs up their stuff. They didn't have that much stuff. A few suitcases and a few things. And the clothes they're wearing. A little bit of food. And they start to go. They say goodbye to their broken down house. And they're going. And the Kinalach asked Tati, "Tati, where should we go? Where are we going to go live?" And the mommy says, "Where are we going to go? We don't have money for a new house. And we don't have another place to live. Where should we go?" And the Tati says, "You know what? Yerushalayim is such a beautiful place. And we love Yerushalayim. But Eliyahu HaNavi said we have to go somewhere else. Let's go to another beautiful place." "Well, where should we go?" Well, the Tati says, "You know what a beautiful place is? Yafoi. Yafoi is by the ocean. And it's a beautiful place overlooking the ocean. A different kind of place than Yerushalayim, but it's a different place." He didn't say which place to go. He just said, "Go to a different place." Who remembers when Hashem told Avram, "Lech Lecha"? Did he tell him where to go? Or he just said, "Lech Lecha, you should go." And Avram chose the place. Remember that? Who knows where did Avram choose to go? Anybody remembers? Where did Avram choose to go? Hashem didn't say where to go. He was living in a place called Ur Kasdim. And all of a sudden, Avram has to choose a place to go. Where did he go?
To Eretz Canaan.
To Eretz Canaan. Very good. So this Tati, the woodchopper, says, "Well, we'll pick our own place to go. Let's go to Yafoi." And they went down the mountains and down the hills and down the roads all the way to the ocean to Yafoi. And then the Kinalach asked Tati, "We're in Yafoi, where should we go? It's a beautiful place with the ocean, but we're not going to live in the ocean, are we?" All of a sudden, one of the kiddies says, "Tati, Mommy, look over there. A beautiful park. Could we go to the park?" "Sure, let's go to the park. We'll let the children play in the park." And the kiddies are running in the beautiful park. And all of a sudden, one of the other kiddies says, "Mommy, Tati, look, a big crowd of people. What are they doing over there at the end of the park?" "Well, I don't know." All of a sudden, they see at the end of the park, not only a big crowd of people, but they're in front of a beautiful mansion, like a castle, like a palace. And the mommy says, "That is the most beautiful home, the most beautiful mansion that I've ever seen. What a gorgeous house. What a beautiful, big, gigantic, gorgeous house." And the Kinnelucks say, "Yeah, let's go over there and see what are all those people doing in front of that big, beautiful palace of a house." And, well, they went over there and they asked one of the people, "There's some Yidden over there, and there's some Goyim over there, there's Arabs standing over there. What's going on over here that all these people are standing in front of this big, beautiful house?" And the people said, "Well, there's signs all over Yafoi that today is an auction." You know what an auction is? Yeah, auction, a person that has chutzpah is an auction. Is that an auction? No. An auction in English is what a person is going to sell something to whoever is going to give the most money. They say, the man that lives in that big, beautiful palace, he's moving away, far away. And he is going to sell his house to the highest bidder, which means the person that's going to give the most money, he is going to sell the house. And his name, the man that lives in that house, is Abdallah. The Kinnelucks say, "Abdallah? You mean Havdallah? We never heard of a person named Havdallah." No, his name is Abdallah. He's an Arab. And he's going to come out pretty soon. And he is supposed to sell his house. Well, a lot of people here would like to buy it, but they don't know exactly how much he's going to charge for his house because he's got to move away. And all of a sudden, the door to the porch, to the patio that overlooks the park opens up, and this big Arab comes out of the house. And boy, he looks mean. And he's looking at all the people, and he starts to scream, "Oh-ho! Today, Abdallah sell his beautiful house, not just the house, but, of course, my beautiful palace." Now, the Arabs cannot say P. They cannot say the word palace because it has a P in it. So they say a P like a B or a base. They say a pay like a base. So they say, "Palace, my beautiful palace. Who want to buy my beautiful palace?" Oh, so many people. Well, they're not going to say people, so they're going to say beeple, right? So many people come to the bark. Now, they can't say park either. So many people come to the bark to buy my palace. Oh, it's good. I hope you have plenty. They can't say plenty either. I hope you have plenty of money to buy my palace today. So that's why you came to the bar to buy my palace. Plenty of people. Oh, okay. Now, Kinnelach, in those days, the money was not called dollars. It was called pounds. Pounds. Okay? Abdallah is now going to announce the price or the bryce of his palace. Oh, now you come to hear Abdallah to announce the price of my palace, and who will pay the money for my palace will get my beautiful palace, because Abdallah moved far away. Abdallah cannot take the palace, he take money. And of course, Abdallah like plenty money, not little bit money, plenty money. Okay, who is ready to buy my palace? And of course, the people are very excited. Everybody would love to buy that beautiful palace. And of course, the kiddies are saying to mommy and tati, "Oh, could we buy that beautiful palace and live in there?" Of course, Kinnelucks, they didn't have even enough money for a loaf of bread. And here is a beautiful, gigantic house. And Abdallah says to everybody, "My starting price is 10,000 pounds. 10,000 pounds. which means, of course, 10,000 pounds, which means like, you know, $1 million. A lot of money. So much money. And the people put their hands on their heads. Oy, gewalt. I don't know if they say oy, gewalt, but they say, so much money. Oh, so much money. Forget it. Never in a million years. And they start to walk away because they know Abdullah will not come down from his starting price. He will only go one way, up and not down. And all of a sudden, kinallah, Fatati goes into kind of a dream. Dreaming about the bracha that Eliyahu HaNavi said is going to come to the family. Their luck, their mazel from Hashem will change around and things will be good. And the Tati thinks to himself, we have 6 children, Kenai Nahara. My wife is expecting the 7th baby. We would love to have a big house, enough room, instead of being squished in one little dumpy house with one little dumpy room. What if every child would have their own bedroom? And we would have enough room for ourselves and a big enough kitchen to cook for Shabbos and Yantav and even during the week. Wouldn't it be wonderful if somehow, some way, we would have a bracha for a beautiful house for a Yiddish family? Look, Abdallah the Arab lives in a beautiful palace like this. Why can't a Jewish family, lahavdil, have enough room? And as he's going into a kind of a dream, Abdallah is screaming, oh, who will give to me 10,000 pound? All of a sudden, the Tati says, I'll give 10,001. 10,001. And the kid in law say, Tati, you're going to give 10,001? You don't have any money? And his wife says, how can you give 10,001 if you don't even have one? Well, it's like the father was kind of in a dream, so excited. And all of a sudden, Abdallah looks down from his porch at this poor family. He looks down at the porch to the poor family. And he sees they're dressed in torn clothes and very poor. And all of a sudden, he gets angry and he says, you are making a joke about my palace. And you are going to give 10,001 pounds. And you don't look like you have enough money. What are you doing? Wasting my time making a joke? And after all, Jews, I see Jews, making a joke. Jews making a joke, making fun of the Abdallah, saying 10,001 bound. Who? I teach you lesson. I come down, teach you lesson. And Abdallah climbs down the stairs and he's stomping his feet. And his face is red, like the tomato on your plate. And, kinallah, this is the second part of the story I didn't want to say, because it's so terrible. The first part of the story I didn't want to say, I already said about it, that I didn't want to say it, but finally I said it. And it's so terrible I don't want to say it again, because it was always said. It's so terrible, I don't want to say it again. It was already said, and we talked about why we had to say it instead of not say it. And this time, another terrible thing happens in the story, which I'd rather not say. But since I already told you by the first part of the story that I said why I should say it instead of not say it, because that's what the story says, this part of the story, since the story said it, I also have to say how it says, and that's the way it should be said also here, because that's the story, and that's the story about the story, why you say the story exactly as it says instead of changing anything. You understand? Abdallah goes over to the father of the family, Kindalach, and with his big foot and his big boot, he gave a big kick to the Tati in his stomach. And the Tati fell down on the ground and he could hardly breathe. And Abdallah screams, these teach you a lesson not to make fun from Abdallah, and you are not going to make no jokes no more. and you fall down on the floor and not bother Abdallah anymore. And Abdallah storms up back into his palace, and he turns around, and nobody's there because they didn't have enough money to pay. And he starts screaming, "Tomorrow be a last chance, and that's all, or else we'll find other rich people to come." He doesn't say people, he says people. "Other rich people will come tomorrow to buy my palace. Tomorrow another auction, and I'm sure rich people will come tomorrow to buy palace instead of you. So go away, tomorrow another day. Abdallah sell palace tomorrow." And Kinalak, the people all left. And the Tati was on the ground. And the children were crying, "Oi, poor Tati. Poor Tati. Look what that mean man did to him. Kicked him in the stomach." And the wife is crying, "Oh, my poor husband. What a terrible thing." And now it's getting late, Kinalak. And the father still could not move. And the family decided, they have no place to go. What are they going to do? They're going to spend the night in the park. And they're sleeping under a tree in the park. The father could just crawl to that tree. And it's getting cold. And the Kinalach are going to sleep by the tree. And the Tati and the Mommy are there. They're taking care of the Tati. And they're hungry. And Abdallah gets into his pajamas and he goes into his nice bed and he's thinking to himself, tomorrow I'm going to sell my palace to rich people come. Maybe I charge more than 10,000 baht tomorrow. Oh, that Jew, he make fun from Abdallah. I give him a kick in the stomach. I wonder what happened to that Jew. Last thing I saw is he's lying on the ground. This serves him right, making joke. After all, though, he has little children. I feel a little bit bad. A little bit. Not too much, a little bit bad. Not for him, the children. Abdallah, I go to look out the window to see what happened to them. It a little bit bothered him. And a little bit he felt, guilty. Abdallah goes over to the window. He looks out the window and he sees, oh, look in Bark. Over there in Bark, I see the family. They by the tree in the Bark. And the little children looks cold. Oh, Abdallah didn't do exactly good thing. Kicking man in stomach and making the family in the bark sleep under a tree. I feel a little bit bad. Not too much, a little bit. Oh, Abdallah sleep in big gigantic house, many rooms. And this family sleep in bark. Abdallah, I warm in my house. Nice warm pajamas. He doesn't say pajamas either. Nice warm pajamas. Beautiful palace, big rooms, nice warm. Abdallah, I'm rich man. This family sleep outside a bark. Maybe what I do, Abdallah, I'm such a wonderful, wonderful man. Maybe from my great goodness, I go out in bark and I tell family to come to sleep in palace. I give them room just one night. Then, Abdallah, that's good. I do good. And maybe I make myself putting a little bit good what I did today instead of kicking Jew in stomach. I let him sleep in my house. Okay, this is what I do. Kinalak, Abdallah put on his slippers and his robe and maybe a nice little hat or something. And he goes out from his big, beautiful palace. And he goes into the park. And he comes out now, and he's going into the park. All of a sudden, the kiddies, because they could not sleep, it was too cold, they see Abdallah coming towards them.
Mommy, Daddy, hey, that big Arab is coming. Hey, we don't know what he's going to do.
They got so scared. They didn't know why he's coming.